Good morning. Would you like to just give me your name, please, and your date of birth?
Dennis Windsor Brager. It's got rather near it.
And your date of birth was?
20th of July, 1927.
1927. Right, thanks very much, Dennis. Right, we're here this morning, obviously, to talk about your experiences as a young schoolboy when war broke out, but also as well as your time as the one of the groundsmen at Wickenby. If I'd like to start, please, do you have any memories then, when you were at school, of when war broke out and what the feeling was at school?
Well, it was just the same. No, it didn't seem to bother anybody. I don't think so.
No?
No.
There was no...
I can't remember being frightened or anything like that.
Did you have any practices for air raids?
No, I can't remember that, no. I could have had, but I can't remember. We had air raid shelter, but I can't never remember going into it.
Right.
Sorry about my voice.
Yeah. What was the village that you lived in at the time, then?
I lived here at East Barkworth.
So you've always lived here all your life?
Yeah.
Then?
Oh, no, I've been around a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So, by the time then you got to the age 16, obviously, it was time to find a job. And
yeah,
so where
I left
did you
school
first
at 14.
Go? So you left school at 14?
Yes.
Where did you go looking for a job then?
I went to Owens's Woodyard.
Which is in the village?
No, it's at Rugby.
Okay.
And they've all gone. Woodyard's gone, and then there's a plastic factory there, and it's gone. I started working in the woodyard and finished working at the plastic factory in 1986, something like that.
Okay. Right, so from there then, obviously, by 1943 you were looking then for another job.
That's correct.
And so how did you end up working then at Wickenby?
Well, I told you, this Albert Elwick got me an interview, got me there, and I went, you got my job straight away.
Okay. So when you arrived at Wickenby then, what did you have to do?
Well, I was often going around all the sites, cutting the grass and all that, sometimes with Hook and sometimes with Alan Scythe.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, clean dikes. I can remember one right again where our office is. There's more oil than water in it. They've been, the ground crew put you dumping oil in the dike.
Yeah. Were there a lot of aircraft at Wickenby then?
What? Well, there's two squadrons. 12 squadrons, 626.
Right.
Well, I couldn't tell anyone. Quite a lot of air. I could make a lot of noise.
And what the aircraft they had there?
And there's one, what? Special part just again, our offices like PHN and Banana. I was used to watch that, and all of a sudden it seemed to disappear. Oh, it's gone.
Okay.
Anyhow, a few weeks later it came back and it had been refurnishing all the bombs on it.
Right. And these were all Lancaster aircraft, were they?
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So when you were cutting the grass, then obviously you must have been near to the air crew as they were getting on
well,
the aircraft.
No, only that one up at Rand. More ground crew than air crew, and the same with the WAF. Didn't see much of the air crew, only when they went to the briefing room and all that business.
Okay, yeah. So do you have any memories of watching the crew get onto their aircraft then?
Well, not, I see them going around in the bus, that's all, but can't say I can see them. Well, when they were only doing circuits and some bumps and that, they used to change crews at the end of the runway, going around, they've got another name now, training like that.
Was it?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, right.
Oh, you'd call it circuit.
Things like aircraft returning from raids. Did you manage to see those in the morning? Were they badly damaged?
No, I said they'd be back before we got there. Because I went there, absolute fog, and the airplanes all over, aircraft all over the place. And I remember the time I went to hospital site. It's in the Valley Hospital, but I don't know if it's Band Bed or it's regional. And outside the mortars, I saw it looked like a dead sheep. Now, of course, I knew what it was later. It was Brian Aker who had been killed in the airplane. I went, and I come back. What did I say that? I didn't. Because they'd gone.
Right. Yeah.
Weren't very fit to start.
No. I mean, that's really what we're looking for. Something. I mean, we talk here about when you're watching the Lancaster crash. Well, it nearly crashed, didn't it, on takeoff?
That's right. Oh, yes, I remember that part.
Yeah. So what was that?
Because we'd ended the runway, went for it to go past. Now I must have been near there, out or entrance. We thought, picked it in the air, I'd have a look. And it just made to the port, if you like. And this hangar was almost up the end of the runway. Well, they shot these people shut out a lot of rats out this runway, and also had a warning. But it cleared it, and it's still standing today.
Really?
Yeah. But it nearly got burned down because somebody, what call it? Oh, there's a firm at Ray's and Ray's something. They've got lorries and all there at Wickenby now. It got on fire when they was there, and anyhow, it's still there to tell the tale.
Right.
But I can't tell you what year that was.
Yeah. There was a famous Lancaster at Wickenby that did 100 missions.
Yes, PHN, Enfernan. I could have got built with it. I was sort of Enfernoman, maybe. But no, it was Enfernan.
Enfernan, yeah. Yeah. So you saw this aircraft?
Oh, I definitely. It's like I was asleep. Except when it went missing, I thought, oh, it's gone. And it came back all refurbished, whatever you might call it.
Yeah.
Looking like a brand new one.
Right.
And it finished the war, and of course they broke it up.
They did, that's right. It was a shame, really. It was a famous aircraft, yeah. Right, what I would then like to talk about is that it was time for you to join the Royal Air Force. And would you like to tell me when you joined?
September the 3rd, 1945.
Right, and what you were conscripted into the air.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And what, and what trade did they put you into?
Well, 8 weeks training to start with. Square bashing at Padgate.
Right.
And I remember that one. The first night out of bed, then the next night, I was sleeping on 3 biscuits around the floor. But it was cold.
Yeah. So when you finished there, then you went and did your training where?
At Padgate.
You did all your training at Padgate?
That's correct, yeah. Oh. 8 weeks training.
Yeah. And then where were you posted to?
I was posted to, I just said the name of the place, Locking, Western Silvermere.
Right, okay.
HCHCD, I didn't have a trade.
Right.
General Body, Biddy Body, you know what I mean.
So what did you do there then when you were at Locking?
Well, I was in the cookhouse, peeling potatoes and all them sort of things. I used to see the air crews go then, but I didn't have a conversation.
Okay, right. And then when were you finally demobbed then? When did they finally let you leave the Air Force?
May 1948.
Oh, so you were in for quite some time after the war.
Well, I had a couple of weeks sick leave. I got a patch on my lungs, and I was smoking or what, I don't know.
Right. Oh, so you were poorly for some time then?
Yeah, only a couple. I came off for a couple of weeks in my treatment, went back and I was all right. Had x-rays on me, like that. The first time I had x-ray.
Right.
1948.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so when we look back then on your time at Wickenby, did you feel then that, could you feel what it was like, the urgency that was there with the ground crew and the bomber crews, and did you see how they reacted with each other? You know, did you ever?
Oh, you know, well, the ground crew was talking about, they must have had a briefing, because all of a sudden they come, drove from on the pushbox going to the jobs, and they won't go, they must have known where they was going, wouldn't they? They all were on bikes.
Yeah.
But then come then the war, they were there marching. Or sort of.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, that's great. Thanks very much, Dennis. Wonderful small view of what your particular bit of the war was like there, especially at Wickenby. And thank you very much for helping us on that. When it came to cutting the grass, obviously, we'll talk about the type of equipment you've got, but it must have been a huge area. Would you like to talk about that?
It was definitely big area. I remember half an hour, three quarters cutting it. I'm better on my feet than I am now. And then when I finished, we go to another site. But the rest of the gang had gone, I feel like they called them again. And except for one, they used to give me a hand to lift it over a kitchen. No, dyer, that's the word I'm looking for. I couldn't lift it up myself.
Right.
And while I was going there, the Americans were going over in formation. I couldn't tell if it was fortress, flying forces or liberators. It was lovely, someone's day like. Yeah. And we must get to Wapshot.
And what type of equipment was the lawnmower, was the mower then? What was it, a push one, or did you sit on it?
Oh, definitely had some. Hold on a minute. No, it was, what's the word? Patel drive, people should drive it. Oh, they couldn't push it on him. It's a propelled drive, if that's the word. Self propelled.
Okay, right, thank you.
It's all out on there.
So, how many of you were there?
Because? Well, I can't really tell you now. Yeah.
at least a dozen.
There's Harry Bowman, Henry Hunter. Now, Walter, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that's okay.
Albert Elwick, yeah. That's five, anyway.
So there was five of you, anyway. Yeah.
But, and of course, Tom Greenfield was the foreman, or Ed Groundsman.
Okie dokie. Okay, that's great. I mean, thanks very much. That's to be added to serial number 1001, previous to this recording. That's for your information, Neil. Thanks very much.